Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lalit Group Annual Results 2020 conference call. I'm Andre, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Roger van der Weijt. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to our conference call in connection with the full year 2020 financial results of Lalit Group, which we published earlier this morning. My name is Roger van der Weijt, CEO of Lalit Group, and I'm here on the phone together with our CFO, Alexis Rubinstein. It's our pleasure to have you all in our call, and thank you for taking the time for this conference. So in the next couple of minutes, we would like to walk you through our full results slide presentation. As you have seen, the presentation is available at the Lalit Group website, and we will go slide by slide. I will start with a brief summary of our performance in the past year, which was obviously marked by the COVID-19 context. Then Alexis will provide a more detailed overview of our 2020 financial results, and I will then turn on to our business priorities for the current year, as well as our financial outlook. And of course, after the presentation, we will be happy to take your questions. So to start, let's go directly to page number 4 of the slide deck. Obviously, as for the whole luxury goods industry, the lockdown measures to combat the corona pandemic had a very adverse effect on our global business. The temporary closure of shops had a particularly negative impact on our retail business, while our wholesale activities were less affected over the course of the year. Amid the pandemic, our utmost priority is to protect the health of our employees, clients, and partners. At the same time, and thanks to strict sanitary concepts, we managed to ensure the production in our manufacturing sites, as well as deliveries to our clients during the various lockdown phases as well. However, as we had to face a very challenging sales environment, we implemented a number of cost savings measures immediately after the outbreak of the pandemic, and we also introduced furlough in Switzerland, in France, and other overseas locations. These measures helped to partly offset the lower sales levels. As part of our efforts to address the situation, we also put a stronger focus on online distribution and digital marketing activities. And we are pleased to see that online sales remarkably increased in perfumes and crystalware, our two main areas of business. Let me also say a few words here about our restaurants. Our French establishments had to stay closed for 4 months in total during the year 2020 and have not yet reopened in 2021. However, they each set up a takeaway service and deliver up to 200 meals every weekend, which is very appreciated by customers and also allows the teams to maintain a minimum activity. The cafe restaurant at our Scottish distillery, which is part of the visitor center, has been closed since March 2020 and is due to reopen later in April this year. Despite the fact that we had to scale back or postpone a number of activities and projects, we were moving ahead in some areas with selected new product launches in our fragrance business, in the Lalit crystal sector, as well as in our Scottish whiskey business. And of course, most recently, last month, we have started the launch of the first fragrance under our exclusive Brioni license. Let's turn now to the next page, slide number 5, which summarizes our financial performance in 2020. Total group sales declined by 23% to €110 million for the year, which reflects improved sales trend in the second half of the year after we had to record a 30% sales drop in the first half when the pandemic broke out. On the cost side, as I just said, we took substantial cost savings measures at all levels to mitigate the situation. And as a result, personal costs decreased by 19% and other operating expenses were 24% lower. Looking at profitability, let me point out that besides the COVID-19 situation, we recorded two extraordinary effects that impacted our financial result. First, and as already communicated with our half-year results, we took an impairment charge of €4.3 million on the Lalique brand value. And second, we booked a litigation provision of €2.4 million in connection with long-running legal proceedings in France. So as a result, our EBIT stood at minus €12.6 million in 2020, including the impairment charge and the litigation provision. Excluding these two one-off effects, the group's EBIT was minus €5.9 million. This brings me to the next point on this slide, and let me underscore this also in the continued difficult economic environment. Indeed, Lalique Group continues to have a solid liquidity and capital position. Cash flow from operations 2020 increased to €8.7 million, while our balance sheet remains strong with an equity ratio of 46.2% at the end of 2020. And to conclude this slide, let me share with you that against the back of the ongoing COVID-19 context, we saw solid sales trends in the first quarter of the current year. So for the full year 2021, and I will come back later on this in more detail, we expect double-digit sales growth for the group. It remains that, nonetheless, we expect that our full year 2021 revenues will be slightly below the pre-pandemic level of 2019. And with this, let me now hand over to Alexis, who will give you a more detailed overview of our financial results.
Thank you, Roger. And also from my side, I would like to welcome you all to this conference call. So to look at our 2020 financials more in details, let's go to page 7, where we can see on our P&L that top line decreased from 143.5 million euro to 110.7 million, minus 23 due to the COVID pandemic context. And to anticipate question from analysts, I can confirm here that we can see exactly the same variance in local currency. If all markets have been affected, retail suffered in particular due to the forced closure of our boutiques during lockdowns. In order to set up proper sanitary conditions for workers in our two factories, we had to close our facilities for approximately 2 weeks during the first lockdown, and consequently, the gross margin level decreased from 57% to 53.4%. In this context, it was really important for us to manage to compensate this loss in sales and margin by a significant decrease in cost. By 19% for personnel cost and by 24% for operating cost compared to 2019, thanks to marketing expense reduction, lease negotiation, but also strict cost management control despite the €2.4 million extraordinary expense related to the court case already mentioned by Roger earlier. As already said, an impairment charge of €4.3 million on the Lalique brand has been booked as of end of June 2020, reflecting the uncertainty of short-term forecasts for the brand in the current context of the pandemic. Excluding these two extraordinary factors, extraordinary expenses, EBIT would have been at minus €5.9 million compared to minus €12.6 million as of year-end 2020. So maybe to take a closer look at the impact of these two of these extraordinary factors, let's go to the slide 8. So here you can see that if we exclude respectively the one-off effect for of 2020, but also 2019, which are respectively for 2020, the non-cash impairment charge on the Lalique brand for €4.3 million, but also the provision for the legal case for €2.4 million, and for 2019, the Glen-Tirette acquisition cost for €1.2 million, and also the positive effect from the Swiss tax reform for €2.1 million below EBIT. And consequently, 2020 EBIT adjusted would have been at -€5.9 million compared to €2.6 million in 2019. And 2020 net loss would have been reduced to -€9.4 million compared to -€0.6 in 2019. So let's now turn to page 9 with an overview of the result breakdown by our business segment. In this context, let me also note that we have slightly adjusted our segment structure for our financial reporting. The Glen-Turret brand, which was previously reported under other brands, is now managed in a dedicated segment. And the Parfum Grey brand, which was previously shown as a segment of its own, is now included in the segment other brands. Obviously, the main reason for this adjustment in our segment structure is that the Glen-Turret business model is very different compared to Lalique and Lalique Beauty businesses. So you are seeing on this slide the new segment overview consisting of the segment Lalique, Ultrasen, Jaguar Fragrances, the Glen-Turret, as well as the other brand segment, which is composed by the brands Samurai, Bentley, Grey, Lalique Beauty Service, our perfume filling factory, and Lalique Beauty Distribution in charge of the distribution of all LLQ perfume in France. As usual, we will go through each segment in the slide that will follow. So let me just highlight here that Lalique brand represents again 59% of the total sales of the group, and that Jaguar is the second brand with €15.8 million sales, followed closely by Ultrasen at €14.8 million. So let's move now to the next slide, slide 10, to take a closer look at the Lalique segment and the performance drivers for 2020. Sales decline in all markets, in particular in the Europe and U.S. retail due to the forced closure during Q1, Q2, and Q4. Lalique in general recovered well during the second semester with a total sales of €41.3 million versus €45.6 million during the first semester 2019. And this was especially thanks to the good performance in China and mainland, as well as the double digital sales for perfume and retail Lalique sales. As said by Roger, hospitality business was closed for almost 5 months, including the usual seasoning closing period in January. And excluding one-off effects, EBIT would have been at -€6.6 million, so slightly better than last year, thanks to material decrease in cost for €9.0 million. With this, we go to the slide 11 with the Ultrasen segment, which was not only affected by lockdown measures, but also travel restrictions, which led to significantly lower sales of sunscreen products across Ultrasen main markets during the year. As a consequence, operating revenue decreased by 32% and was partially compensated by the decrease in personnel and operating costs. EBIT margin decreased to 6.9% at €0.9 million. We turn now to the slide 12 and the Jaguar segment, the group's largest perfume brand. Exactly as Ultrasen, operating revenue has been decreased by 32%. And despite the decrease in core market sales, we managed to maintain a satisfactory 13% EBIT margin, which corresponds to an EBIT of €2 million. Now let's go to the slide 13 with the segment dedicated to the whiskey distillery, the Glen-Turret. So the operating revenue decline is due to, obviously, the shutdown of the visitor center for 9 months due to lockdown in Scotland and in the UK. And we know that now we will only open now in end of April 2021. But also to the delayed launch of the new whiskey range initially planned in Q1 2020, delayed to autumn 2020. So despite the cost reduction and furlough, EBIT stood at minus 2.5 million euros. Let's turn now to the other brand segment on slide 14. So this segment includes the perfume brands Bentley, Samurai, and Grey, as well as our perfume filling and logistic operation Lally Beauty Service in France. We can see clearly that here Bentley fragrances perform well in the pandemic context, only minus 5%, thanks to good digital sales and good performance in key markets. Parfum Samurai revenue declined by 21%. This is mainly due to the fact that Japan was in state of emergency for almost all 2020. Parfum Grey reported a minus 23% revenue due to the challenging situation in key markets such as South America and US in particular. And Lalique Beauty Service compensated the lack of perfume activity with the production of hand sanitizer for third-party clients. Consequently, EBIT declined to euro 1.5 million with a margin of 7.9%. To conclude this part, let's go to slide 15 and our balance sheet. While obviously our P&L has been strongly affected by the pandemic, our balance sheet remained very solid in 2020. In particular, net cash and net debt have been improved thanks to strict control of working capital requirements, especially focused on stock level and accounts receivable recovery. As a consequence, net cash improved from 15.2 million to 22.4 million. Net debt decreased from 49.9 million euro as of end of 19 to euro 44.9 million as of end of 2020. Liquidity ratio improved to 2.0 from 1.8. And finally, equity ratio remained strong at 46.2%. With this, I hand back to Roger for the third part and last part of the presentation.
Thank you, Alexis. And to start this last part, let's go to slide 17. I thought it was interesting to give you an indication of the monthly sales trends that we have seen over the course of the last year and also in the first quarter of the current year. So as you can see from the graphic, we had a very good start in the year 2020 with strong sales in January, February, compared, of course, to 2019. And then, as we all know, March and April, with the outbreak of the pandemic, saw a sharp drop in sales when lockdown measures were implemented around the globe. And sales then started to slowly recover from May 2020 onwards, and steadily improved, especially during Q3 and Q4 2020, and this despite the second wave of the pandemic that kicked in November and December, and which triggered new lockdown measures in Europe in particular. The start of 2021 showed a solid sales trend, especially considering that January and February 2020 were not yet impacted by Corona. And of course, March 2021 then strongly outperformed March 2020. Now let's go to slide 18 with our business priorities for the current year, which unfortunately continues to be marked by the COVID-19 context. Our sanitary measures, and in particular home office work, continue to remain in place, while the progressing vaccine campaigns will hopefully lead to a process of normalization of life and business within the next few months. Due to the ongoing uncertainty, we continue to manage our business cautiously with a very tight cost management across all segments, similar to what we did in 2020. Our key projects and launches for 2021 include the following. Of course, the rollout of the first Brioni perfume line, which started in March and which is still ongoing. The reopening of the Glen Turret Visitor Center at end April, so actually in a couple days. This includes guided distillery tours, the cafe and the gift shop. Then the opening of the new Lalique fine dining restaurant and bar at the Glen Turret Distillery under the lead of Michelin-starred chef Mark Donald, which is planned for late June. And last but not least, the launch of improved ultrasound formulas in Q3 or Q4. Those formulas with a focus on Asian markets and consumer tastes. From a financial perspective, our main goal, of course, is to improve profitability, especially in the Lalique segment, through a mix of revenue growth and control of operating expenses. And last, we intend to continue the positive sales trends in our digital businesses. This brings me to the next page, slide 19, with our financial outlook. So, as said before, for the full year 2021, and also given the improved sales trends that we saw in the first quarter, we expect a double-digit sales growth compared to 2020. And this, although revenues for 2021 are likely to remain below or slightly below the pre-pandemic level we recorded back in 2019. That said, however, there is continued uncertainty surrounding the further development of the coronavirus in the next few months. So as we have also noted on the slide, our outlook is bearing unforeseeable events or a renewed escalation of the pandemic. And finally, with regard to our midterm targets that we have communicated in April 29 together with our 2018 results, obviously, they will be delayed due to the COVID-19 crisis, as we have previously announced. Hence, from today's perspective, we anticipate a delay of around 2 to 3 years in the achievement of our mid-term profitability targets. So to sum up, let's go quickly to page number 20. And of course, Lalique Group was hit by the corona pandemic, no doubt, although less severely than anticipated when the crisis broke out at the start of 2020. And as a result of this, our liquidity and capital positions remain strong, fortunately. And while there is a silver lining thanks to vaccine campaigns, we will continue to be very strict in the management of all our business segments, even though sales trends might continue their positive trend. And I would like to finish by mentioning that there will be no changes to the group strategy based on diversification, as we have seen that the broad base of our businesses has shown resilience during the COVID crisis. And with this, I thank you for your attention. Alexis and I are now happy to take your questions. And so I would like to ask the operator who has the first question, please.
The first question comes from the line of Ivo Ruch from Finanz Wirtschaft. Please go ahead.
Good morning, thank you. First question is, overall, how much did you save through COVID-related support measures, such as short time work and rent reductions? And the second question would be, at the half-year results, you said online sales were responsible for a single-digit share of total sales. What was it in the full year, and where do you want to end up in 2 to 3 years from now? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ruch. As far as government support measures, what comes to mind here obviously is furlough that we started introducing back in March. And of course, the other part is COVID credits that we applied for and that we received in amounts, and I would say under terms and conditions that were provided for by those ad hoc regulations. So over the year, knowing that the furlough ratio has decreased over the months as our sales were improving again, especially after Q3 of 2020, the total indemnities that we received from the government for our furlough schemes amounted to approximately 3 million euro. In terms of COVID credits, what I can say is that we received 13 million of credits, a mix, of course, of the standard credits and the credit plus, which where the terms and conditions vary. In Switzerland, those amounted to 13 million. While in France, we obtained COVID credits in an amount of 10 million. Now, of course, these amounts have to be reimbursed to the government. So we only saw this as a security net. We haven't spent or used those monies. And of course, the reason is that our cash flow was positive in 2020, despite the difficult situation, and therefore we didn't need to touch those funds. On your second questions on online sales, so again, just to be precise here. In the perfume business, we achieved 8%. We achieved online sales equivalent to 8% of the overall perfume sales. However, this includes our own online channels, but it also includes sales that we made to beauty online retailers like Notino.com or like Tmall.com. It also includes the e-commerce sites of certain retailers that we work with, like Neiman Marcus and like Harrods in the UK, for example. On the crystalware side, so the 8% online sales, online sales representing 8% of global retail sales of Lalique were achieved exclusively through our own e-commerce sites. Of course, this growth in 2020 has been quite interesting for us, and we expect this trend to continue even after the end of the COVID crisis. But it's a little bit difficult for us to make a precise forecast. But I would definitely expect that the mentioned percentages or the percentages that we have seen in 2020 will go into double-digit figures in 2021, and from there we'll continue to gradually improve in the midterm.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Bürki from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I would have a question regarding your guidance in 21, double digit, and then you say you will be slightly below the sales volume of 2019. If I do the math, if you would get exactly 2019, would be a sales growth of 30%. So is it does it make sense to assume you a number above 20% is a reasonable target for this year? That's my first. And the second, what would this mean for your profitability in the actual year? Can we foresee, for example, a positive EBIT? Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Brücki.
Morning.
So on your first questions, you're absolutely right. We think it would be a little bit too optimistic to expect a 30% growth rate in 2021, especially looking at the business restrictions we have incurred so far since the beginning of the year. And again, even though vaccine campaigns are progressing, we don't really know what to expect in the next months. We hope that we will be able to open our various restaurants and visitor centers at Glen Turret in the course of the next week and months, but even that is not guaranteed. So we do think we need to be a little bit cautious. I mean, it's not excluded we might actually reach a 30% growth, but this is not what we are realistically thinking. And then, of course, when we say double digit, that so the minimum would be 10%, and then obviously the top of the range would be around those 30% or a little bit less. So I would say that with 20% we should be safe. I really think that unless there's a new escalation of the crisis, we should end up in that specific range. I hope that answers your first question. In terms of profitability, as said, we manage costs very tightly. We continue to do so, even though sales trends are developing positively. We have started the year under a zero-based budgeting concept. That also means that expenses beyond a certain threshold need to be reapproved in each particular case before being incurred, even though they have been included in the annual budget. So I would say that if we're able to reach our growth target, let's say around 20%, as you have mentioned, group EBIT should come in very close to break even.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of René Weber from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Morning, Roger and Alexis. So I have two categories in terms of questions. So the first one goes into the Lalique division. I saw that the number of owned stores has been reduced from 32 to 27. It looks like there were two closures in Europe, three in Asia. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and what are the plans going forward with your own stores? How much of your sales in the Lalique division is done with their own stores? And also regarding Lalique, when do you expect to break even on the EBIT level for the Lalique division? Then the second question goes into Glen Turret. The minus 2.5 million in EBIT, how much of that is due to the launch cost you have done? And could you give us an idea what kind of sales target you expect in 2021? And where do you expect to have sales with the new whiskey range?
Good morning, Vani. Thank you for your questions. I will answer as follows. On the own stores, just gathering my notes. Okay. Yes, we closed, in total, we closed seven shops during the year 2020. To be very precise, we closed one in Tokyo, one in Shanghai, one in Hong Kong, two in France, and two in the US. So those shops were actually point of sales that did not perform to our full satisfaction already prior to the COVID-19 outbreak, meaning already the performance 2019 was not entirely satisfactory. So where we had the opportunity to terminate the lease contract, whether or not in the context of Corona, we took that opportunity and decided to close those shops because we anticipated that they would only have increased the losses 2020. However, of course, some of these shops are to be seen as temporary closures, and we will evaluate the opportunity to reopen some of them once the coronavirus will no longer affect our lives and our business, and we expect that we will start this evaluation or brainstorming hopefully in the course of next year. Now, in terms of retail sales, the numbers I can give you is in 2019, all our retail shops together, including e-commerce, amounted to approximately 30 million euro, 30. And in 2020, we had a drop in those retail sales of around 23%. Meaning our retail sales amounted to roughly 23 million.
Okay.
So much to be said on your first question. Now, the second question regarding the break-even of the Lalique segment, I will let Alexi answer. Clearly, this is the most tricky or the segment which is in the loss situation, and that will have the biggest impact, of course, on group EBIT the day we're able to break it even.
Yes, so regarding the profitability of the Lalique segment, it's true that in the past, or even if 2019 was already in significant loss, this year, thanks to the reduced cost and strict control of our cost on the Lalique segment, We slightly improve if we exclude the one-off effect of the impairment charge and court litigation, the EBIT. So, meaning that losses in Japan, especially, and US have been already reduced, and so we will continue to increase the profitability of the Lalique segment. In the next years, by reducing losses in the U.S. after the restructuring, and in Japan, and developing also China mainland sales as well as digital sales.
So to be more precise, our objective is to gradually improve, of course, the EBIT of Lalique. It's difficult for us to give you a specific year in which we plan to achieve this, but I would tend to say that 2024 should be a reasonable timeline. And again, this increase in profitability will come through a mix of geographic expansion on the one hand. In particular, in Far Eastern regions and countries, Southeast Asia, South Korea, Thailand, where Lalique is currently not or hardly or distributed at a very low level. On the second hand, a increased market penetration and market coverage, of course, mainland China in particular, since we only have operations. Retail operations in Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Beijing so far, and third, also a transition from startup to a more mature business, And this is especially the case with Japan, where we started our own operations back in 2018.
Okay, thanks for this.
Does that answer the question? And then moving on to Glenn Turret. Yes, of course, EBIT minus 2.5 million compared to minus 1.9 in 2019. In 2019, however, we had the acquisition costs in there. And so you can assume that the increase of the EBIT loss is due first of all to the lack of sales given the lockdown, and also to some extent based on the costs of developing the new whiskey lines, and of course some renovation costs in the distillery that we cannot account for as capexes.
And where is this new range now available of Glen Turret? In which region?
We have identified key markets that we're going to distribute this. Our strategy is to have a very scarce offering, and therefore being able to work with higher prices. So far, from what we have seen since the launch, this seems to be working quite well. But to answer your question more precisely, you can get some in Switzerland. We have a Swiss distributor. Of course, the other main markets being the US, of course, being Asia in particular. Besides, of course, the home market. In the UK.
Okay, thank you.
We have a last minute registration from Daniel Bürki from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Yes, I would like to go a little bit deeper in the cost topic, because you had a very strong reduction of personnel and operating costs, and I was wondering how much of this cost reduction could be sustainable, right? Some of the costs really gone for good, and how much will come back this year and also next year?
Okay, just a second. So we have seen when answering Mr. Roos' question that part of this of those cost reductions are due to the furlough schemes that we put in place last year, but that we have gradually ceased or at least reduced over the years. So we have very few employees that are still on furlough as we speak today, but therefore. Personal costs will increase to some extent due to these reduced furlough schemes. Then, as I said when answering René Weber's questions, we have reduced personnel also by closing those seven retail shops. In average, we have four to five persons, sales staff in every shop. As I said, we won't reopen any of these shops or any new shops in 2021. Therefore, we can assume that those personal cost reductions will at least be there also in 2021, but then starting 2022, we will look at the opportunity to open new shops again. So, the third factor is we also laid off a certain number of employees. At Lalique France, as well as at our US and Japanese subsidiaries. The U.S. have, in the course of a restructuring and a change of the business model, Japanese to reduce the startup losses and increase the path to profitability. And in Lalique France, it's simply those personal reviews that we do every year, that we perform every year, regardless of crises like COVID, etc., and where we constantly seek to optimize our workforce. So it can be assumed, to summarize, it can be assumed that personal expense will be higher in 2021, but they will definitely not go back to the 2019 levels. Does that answer your question, Mr. Buch?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
There are no more questions from the phone.
Okay. Well, in that case, we would like to thank you all for attending this telephone conference, for your time and your interest. Hoping you will all stay safe and healthy, and we look forward to speaking to you, or hopefully to see you next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.